Please be seated. My father is a craftsman in a way that I will never be. He builds cabinets and countertops out of a family shop with my uncle. It's always been a family business. My dad took over my grandfather's shop before merging it with the shop that my uncle was running for his father-in-law. They do big commercial jobs for Huddle House and doctor's offices and hospitals, and also fine custom work for homes. My dad can go into a room under construction, talk with the owner for half an hour, measure a few things, and then go back to the office and produce a beautiful, perfectly measured drawing of what will work best. Those drawings, Greek to me, then through some alchemy, become actual pieces of furniture made to fit perfectly into the given room. From my perspective, the whole process is slightly more mysterious than the Trinity, despite the fact that I, along with each of my siblings and all of my cousins, spent at least a few summers working in the shop. One of the things that I learned in those summers, besides that I am not cut out for that kind of precise craftsmanship, was that installation, in the end, trumps design every single time. We would go out to install some cabinets, leaving the perfect drawings behind. And when we got there, we often found that the plumbing had come in at the wrong place, or the customer had switched the thickness of the tile, or appliances had been delivered at a different size than anticipated. And instantly, the carefully made plans went out the window, and we'd improvise whatever we had to improvise to get the cabinet functioning in the right place. My dad would draw up beautiful plans and cut the wood millimeter perfect. But when the situation required it, those plans would be drastically modified or completely cast aside when we got to the install and intersected with the work of others. Because while the precise plans were essential for doing the work, following the plan was never actually the point. The point was to get the best possible cabinet put in the place where it would actually work. And if that meant that hours of good, useful, painstaking work were undone by 45 seconds of math done on a napkin in the cab of the truck, then we went with the napkin math that would get the job done. This was not some kind of heartless, bare pragmatism. It was clarity on what mattered in the practice and real commitment to the important goals of the practice. A certain flexibility of loyalty to the precise plans was required to do exactly what the plans were meant to let us do. Jesus's disciple, John, would have hated working for my dad, because in our reading today, he spectacularly confuses means for mission. Now, for him, it's not following a blueprint or a drawing, but there is a structure in place around Jesus with clear lines of authority. What John forgets is that that structure is there for the purpose of furthering the mission. Now, John is not a villain, but he does mistake the means for the mission. He gets his priorities wrong, and cares more about the way we do things than he does about what it is that we are doing and why. Jesus has pulled together a community of followers to assist him, learn from him, and eventually inherit the mission from him. They have habits that generally serve them well. Obviously, the disciples make a lot of mistakes, but Jesus' mission is upending the world. The means by which they are working are doing the trick, but they are still only the means. The mission is to proclaim that God's kingdom has come near, to free the possessed, heal the sick, feed the hungry, turn the hearts of the people back toward God. And when someone starts helping the mission outside of the approved authority structure and trusted habits, John flips out. He is a guy who would put the cabinet in as it was drawn in the plans, even if doing so destroyed a wall and broke a pipe. The key phrase in his confusion is, "We tried to stop him because he was not following us." John, my friend, my brother, following you will never be the point. You, John, this rogue exorcist, all of us, we are all trying to follow Jesus. And Jesus doesn't need any of us to be gatekeepers. I'm harping on this short part of a long and challenging gospel reading because I think that it speaks to a live temptation the church will always face. Christianity chases us into community, and then together, and hopefully with the Holy Spirit, we figure out how best to continue the mission of loving and worshiping God and loving and serving our neighbors. Along the way, we find habits and patterns of authority and organization that serve us well. Over time, we learn to trust these habits and patterns deeply and rightfully. And the better they serve us, the more we are prone to mistake our habits for our mission. The church itself is a means to following Jesus. This doesn't make our habits bad. It puts them in their proper place. The reason they have become habits is because we have found them helpful in our Christian life. And John was not the last Christian to make the mistake that he makes. The gospel doesn't care that much whether anyone follows us. The gospel cares about people following Jesus to grow in love of God and each other. We get the immeasurable privilege to invite people not to follow us, but to follow with us. Amen.